One time a bird got into my house, and I had to come home from work and extract the bird from the house because my wife and daughters would not touch the bird.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I am the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for just watching this for free on Friday. We got to stop giving this stuff away.
We do. What are we even doing?
And we're like
what a terrible business model.
We're devaluing our own product by being like, oh, like you should pay for it for fun.
And then 2 days later, watch it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I think it's a great idea. So but we would like for you to subscribe.
We would hope you will consider subscribing because you can watch dozens and dozens of live Texas high school football playoff games because it's the stinking playoff.
What a better time to subscribe than now? We are in playoff season. Yes,
we love playoffs, don't we, folks?
And we do.
We love the playoffs.
We've been working so hard the past few days.
You know who else loves playoffs?
Who?
Our producer, V&A Moreno. Do you love the playoffs, V&A Moreno?
I love the playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs.
Need a little more enthusiasm than that, though.
I love the playoffs!
Thank you for moving the microphone. That was a responsible thing to do.
It's a pro right there. That's why she's a pro.
I am not.
Scream into the mic.
This is ostensibly your bi-district preview edition, but really what it is bracket breakdown.
Yeah. Okay. It's nerd out time.
We're going to be breaking down all 12 UIL Texas High School football playoff brackets, which you can find at TexasFootball.com/playoffs. Go ahead and bookmark that on your Palm Pilot there with TexasFootball.com/playoffs. We've got everything on there, including predictions. Mm.
What percentage of our users have Palm Pilots, you think? What percentage?
0.02%.
Do you know what a Palm Pilot is?
What's a Palm Pilot?
Oh, no.
That just shows how old we are.
But this is the Google perfect time of year. Yeah, Palm Pilot. Came with a stylus. Mm-hmm. You can write that down. But anyway, this is... we're going to be going through all 12 UIL Texas High School football playoff brackets. If there are big games in the brackets, we'll, like, shout them out. But, like, this is not a normal Tep and Step.
Yeah, there's not... We love the bi-district round of the playoffs. It's one of my favorite weeks because it's just 300 and... Well, 52. UIL 11, man.
304,
352.
Yeah. Right?
320 in UIL 11, man, and 352 total. Correct. UIL single elimination games.
Yeah.
So, I think it's awesome. And I'm fired up about it, but there will be some lopsided results. And
yes,
we're ostensibly going to get messages in our social media and emails. Too many teams in the playoffs, and
those people are wrong.
Yeah.
It's weird to be that wrong,
yes,
and that loud and that wrong.
Yes, because number one, there are a lot of fourth place teams who will beat first place teams, and we have the bold take here at Tep and Step that more football is better than less football. Well,
thank you for your courage.
Thank you.
Thank you for that take.
That's why I'm a high school football first responder, because I have that kind of courage.
But
right
we will start, Matthew, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Community Coffee. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee. .com.
It's a refreshing cup of joe right there. Just get you going.
It's definitely not water to keep me hydrated. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week is a simple one. And if you get it wrong, we're probably just going to cancel the show.
Okay.
704 UIL Texas high school football teams have qualified for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
How many qualified for the playoffs last year?
704.
No, I mean how many also qualified last year.
Oh, you mean
how many repeat customers?
Oh,
do we
okay,
have?
Okay. I was like, well, there's 704 last year too. Are you? That's easy. Thanks.
How many repeat customers? How many teams have made the playoffs each of the last two seasons?
Now? Okay, I'm gonna say
704 is the
total. Okay, 704. I'm gonna say 622.
It's a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong, so the show's canceled.
Okay. All right, bye, everyone.
534.
Oh, I overshot a little bit.
534 teams.
That's a lot of first-timers. A lot of newcomers. Not first-timers, but newcomers.
Let's see. That means that 534 divided by 704, that means that there's almost a 25% churn rate.
That's not better than I thought. Yeah.
Not bad. I've got the list of the teams that missed the playoffs here. If you want to go through them, we can go just do a postmortem on one of them. Everman.
Yeah.
One of them, Lake Dallas.
Mm.
Those just pop out to me.
VNA,
no
do we
want
to fire Tepper right now?
I will also say this is not fair. That's a little overshot because Wichita Falls did not make the playoffs this year. Wichita Falls Hershey did not make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still proud of my Falcons.
You should be.
Yeah.
Go Green Birds. Anyway, 534 repeat
green
customers.
Birds.
Is that what, this
go,
is, yeah, they're green and they're birds,
go
right?
Falcons.
Oh, you just nobody has ever referred to Lake Dallas as the Green Birds?
I've always been a Green Bird up until college.
Anyway.
That's true. UNT, too.
Yeah. It is time.
You've got to type VNA.
Okay.
It is time for bracket breakdowns. We are going to break down every single UIL Texas High School football playoff bracket. We're going to go smallest to largest to make sure that you stick around to the end.
That's right.
That's what we call
you 6A snobs or
retention.
Stick around the whole time.
Retention
buddy.
Strategy here.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to start with 1A Division 2. For those who don't know, Matt Stepp is an 11-man guy.
Should we do a 6-man positioning statement
yeah,
again?
Yeah, this is good.
This is my yearly
like,
positioning statement.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh.
I do not hate 6-man football.
No.
I think there is a place for it. I think it's great for those small communities. All that fun stuff. I think there's a place for it in this world. It's just not a preference of mine.
Not your thing.
No, it's not my thing. It's like you know, some people don't like tennis, right?
Mm-hmm.
6-man football, it's a different game. It's just not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I think it sucks. Doesn't mean I think it should be banned. I just think that's not as fun as 11-man football.
It's not your thing.
No.
And that's okay.
So, there you go, Tepper.
Take it away, Tepper.
Yeah, good luck.
1A Division 2. 1A Division 2 is... An interesting bracket that it does feel like we are careening. There's about two or three inflection points that we're going to get to pretty quickly. In Region 1, it does feel like Klondike is the favorite. All four of our predictors on TexasFootball.com/playoffs picked Klondike. That's a team that started off slow. I think they started off 0-4, but they have rattled off their last six, and they play a brutal non-district schedule. Dalton DeGraff and Reeds Ball Club, I think, is the team to beat in Region 1. Region 2, Jayton is... by far the team to beat, I think. They're the number one team in the state. But you do have the two-time defending state champs in Benjamin there, lurking in a potential regional final. That's the third round in 1A Division 2. In Region 3, it does feel like we're heading for a second-round matchup between the champions of District 9 and District 11, Strawn and Iredell. And those feel like the real teams to beat. Like Iredell and Strawn are the teams to beat. Your mileage may vary. I think we're split on those. And then in Region 4... I look at, again, we're heading for probably a regional final matchup between Oglesby, the team that played for a state championship last year with Kyler Fawcett, and Richland Springs. Richland Springs, the most decorated program in six-man football, 9 state championships to their name. They are undefeated, but I don't know if we know how good they are. I think that they are a team that is... we'll find out. Each opponent from here on out will be their toughest opponent. And by the way, they've already advanced the second round because Calvert has forfeited their first round playoff game.
Oh, Calvert forfeited?
Calvert. Yeah, they don't have enough eligible players right now.
Oh,
that's
that
what we heard. It does stink. So anyway, that's what I think. My predictions on TexasFootball.com/playoffs were Klondike Region 1. It was Jayton in Region 2. I have Iredell in Region 3 and Oglesby in Region 4. And I'm going with Jayton as my state champion. That's 1A Division 2. To 1A Division 1, continuing our six-man speed dating. Region 1, I really like Whiteface. The Antelopes have been terrific. I love 10-0. Their defense has been really, really strong, which is something I always look for in six-man football. I think they're the favorite in Region 1. I do not think they're by accident. I think they're battle-tested, and they are for real. Region 2, I'm going with Westbrook. I think Westbrook, if they've been in the last three state championship games, I think that they are legit. I do think that regional final potentially with Water Valley looms very large. And I think that Spur could give them a run in the second round, too. But I do like Westbrook there. Region 3, it's got to be Abbott. I think Abbott, what they did to Aquila last week, I think really makes them the team to beat there. Although Avalon is undefeated as well. But it feels like it's going to be Abbott. And then Region 4, it's so fascinating. Gordon is the runaway favorite to win the state championship. And yet they also have, in my estimation, the single toughest first-round matchup in all of Texas high school football. They play May. That's a top-10 matchup in six-man football. That's number 8 May. They're playing in the first round. If they get past that, they're probably seeing Jonesboro in the regional final. I think that they're the team to beat Rye Reed, Stryker Reed, et cetera, the team. But they will run a gauntlet there of May in the first round, probably a team like Menard in the second round. Then they play Jonesboro, followed by Abbott, followed by whoever comes out of the left side of the bracket, either probably Westbrook or Whiteface. Either way, they will run a gauntlet.
You get these matchups in six-man because they only take two teams to the playoffs. Exactly. You can get these 10-0, 9-1.
That's what this is.
Power-packed first-round games.
So May versus I mentioned this on Twitter. It's hard to remember a first-round matchup like Gordon versus May, two legitimate state championship contenders playing in the first round. Anyway, you can find my predictions at texasfootball.com/playoff. There it is, your six-man speed dating. Did you have fun? Everybody have fun there?
Love it.
You had a lot of fun.
Go six man.
2A Division 2, Matthew. 2A Division 2. We talked a little bit about it on our playoff bracket reveal show.
Mm-hmm.
2A Division 2 feels more wide open. There are no undefeated teams in 2A Division 2. None of them.
That's crazy. There's not a single 10-0 team in the bracket.
Is that right? No, I've got that wrong. Groover's undefeated.
The very first team in the bracket.
The first team in the bracket. Never mind. Everyone except the very first team in the bracket.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go region by region here. We'll start with Region 1. It does feel like Region 1 kind of got upended because of when you take a look at the records. Like, you look at Groover at 10-0, and then you look at a team like Stratford at 6-3, and you're like, oh, of course, Groover's a lot better. I can't shake the feeling that that Stratford may end up, I can't shake the preseason projections of Stratford.
I think, number one, they have, you know, if we talk about making the whole plane out of someone, Stratford makes the whole plane out of Bryce Braden.
He's a man.
They have a shot. Stratford's battled a lot of injuries this year, and I think that the key is going to be how healthy are they. If they're healthy, they can win the region. But are they healthy? And I don't think we'll really know that until, all due respect to Crosby, Tim, we're probably not going to find out how healthy Stratford is in that game. I think round two, though.
Against Wink?
That is a showdown matchup in the second round. Two teams that could win the region going at it in the second round of the playoffs. I think it's a fantastic matchup. I think Groover at the top of the bracket really has a pretty cushy path to a regional final.
I think they're on the clean side of the bracket.
Yeah, Hale Center's got a nice 9-1 record, but I would in 2A, typically in 2A up in that part of the world, Amarillo area seems to be stronger than Lubbock area.
Agreed.
So I look at that, and I think Groover's got a pretty clean path to the regional final. I think the bottom side of the bracket is a little tougher. I think we're looking at a Wink-Stratford showdown in the second round to determine who's going to play Groover in the regional final.
I agree. I really like Kamid Fasciani, the running back there for Wink. I think that they are – I think they're the real deal, and I think they can win the region. I'm the only one who didn't take Groover. I took Wink in our predictions because I think that running game and that defense can hold up. But they do have the tougher path to get there for sure. Region 2. Region 2, it's so funny. Is there a two-time defending champ we're talking about less than Albany?
Yeah, they haven't been talked about a lot. And after the, I think part of it was the rough start. They lose, but I mean, they lost in to Stanford and Hawley back to back, and got kind of hammered in both those games. Well, they've done nothing but run off seven straight, and they would have had eight straight if their game week 11 hadn't been canceled due to the grass field. I guess they got so much rain out there in Abilene, the field is unplayable. But I feel like Albany isn't getting, and I think they're going to get to the third round. I think the road ends with Munster.
That's where I'm at.
I love this Munster team. Mm-hmm. You know, they only have one loss, I believe, and that was
two
to Pottsboro.
Losses.
Okay, they lost to Pottsboro in a really close game. That's Pottsboro's a 3A Division I team.
Yes,
they lost in a close game to Pottsboro. And who was there? Was there the other loss to?
It was to another 3A team. I want to say.
Okay,
let's see. To your point, their other loss is to Holiday.
Yeah, which is a 3A Division II team,
a
top 10 3A Division II team. So Munster's strength of schedule and the way that win over Collinsville really kind of impressed me.
Yes.
I think we're looking at Albany and Munster in their regional semifinals in the bottom of the bracket.
Yeah.
Top of the bracket, I think Wellington and Collinsville is a great round two matchup. Should be a lot of fun. I think Winthorst, though, is a team to beat in the top of the bracket. Chris Tackett's ball club. I think we're looking at a Winthorst-Munster showdown, possibly in Wichita Falls, for the regional title.
Winthorst took a loss earlier that, I think kind of took the wind out of their sails. I'm trying to remember what it was. They were a team that I was all about, and then for some reason, I think I was like, wait a second, never mind. It was, who'd they lose to? Well, they got drilled by Munster. That was it. That's their only loss of the year.
Which,
it's a good loss, but, that's a team you're going to have to get past at some point.
Yeah, Munster beat them 56-21. The close wins over Electra and Archer City. If you're looking for a sleeper team, in my sleeper article, I think Archer City's a team that could be a little bit. They've gotten healthy at the right time. They got some guys back. I think they're a team that I would consider if you're looking for a sleeper to dream on, it would be Archer City.
2A. So let's go to Region 3. This was a lot simpler 72 hours ago.
It was,
recording this, by the way, on Monday, November 11th. This is a lot simpler.
And we're just ready to put Mart all the way to the state semifinals. Just like
pencil
always.
Pencil and Mart.
Yeah.
And then they go off in week 11 and get absolutely annihilated by Goldthwait, snapping a 50-game district winning streak. It's the second loss in district play for Kevin Hoffman ever since taking over for Rusty Nail. I don't know.
I forget how great of a coaching name Rusty Nail is.
What
an awesome name.
My question is, how much that changed things. I'm at the point now where I feel like I can't change my brain is too like Mart-pilled. I can't change in it, like with this new information. I can't fathom it. If there is an opening, it feels like Lovelady is probably most likely to walk through it.
That's my pick. You know, Lovelady's been the team that's kind of been the challenger to Mart and what little challenge they've had in Region 3 the past couple of years. I mean, Lovelady played Mart last year in the regional final and lost 57-20.
That's the thing. Like, Mart, this is Mart's first region loss in like 7 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. I like Lovelady's 8-2. Their two losses are by 2 points to Timpson and by 14 to Garrison. Two really good Division I teams in Class 2A. So I think this Lovelady team is ready to take that next step. I think what we saw last Friday was a little bit. I mean, I don't think they're 46 points worse than Goldthwait.
I don't think they are either.
They were, but
yes,
I think that's an outlier type result. I think Mart's going to play a lot better in the, you know, I think this might be a wake up call for them, but they're not head and shoulders above the field. And I think the inconsistency and some of the issues that we've seen with Mart's team this year, I think this is the year Lovelady takes them out.
Interesting. I could see it. It also wouldn't surprise me if Mart just like starts doing what they do in the playoffs and just beating every team 56-7.
Watch out for Mount Enterprise. Keegan Nash is healthy. If you're looking for like a sleeper like team to like, you know, kind of surprise and make a deep run,
because here's
Enterprise has got a nice pass to the third round.
If they get past Deweyville in the first round, that's district champion Deweyville.
Yeah.
If they get past that, then
they'll
like,
be favored in the second round. And if they
got that guy,
Keegan Nash. They keep him healthy. They keep Keegan Nash healthy. Watch out for Mount Enterprise as kind of a sleeper.
Region 4. It's funny, like, for all we talked about, like, Mart being the usual favorite there in Region 3, like, Shiner, in my opinion, looks the clear favorite in Region 4, in my opinion.
The win over Fall City is really what kind of...
I mean, and just the way that they play, that defense, even when they were losing games, they were losing games, like, 21-0. To like 3A teams.
Yeah, I mean, there are three losses. You lose to Hallettsville by 7, 3A Division I playoff team. Rice Consolidated, that was the one 23-0, but Rice Consolidated is better than we thought.
Yeah.
That's a playoff team in 3A Division II, two divisions up. And they lose by 7 to Poth, who's an undefeated 3A Division II team, who is a contender in their own region. They lost by 7. They've won 7 in a row since then, and really, other than Fall City was the only one that was competitive.
Yeah.
And even then, that was a pretty... predominant 21-3 win.
I just don't think that there's anything, like, as long as that defense continues to play like that, I'm just not sure that there's anything that's going to stand in their way. Junction's interesting. Junction is a team that I think they're interesting.
I know the computer. My only concern about Junction is the lack of playoff pedigree. And you're getting a second round game against Fall City. Say what you want about Fall City, but they've been there, done that. They win. They know how to play in November, December. Junction, Junction hasn't probably been to the third round of the playoffs in a long time. So that's the one concern I have. But I know the computer loves dominance, and Junction's been dominant.
Junction's been dominant, but I'm not sure. I think you're right. I also don't know if they played the toughest schedule in the world. Shiner is battle-tested. We know that. And that second-round match, I will say this, that second-round matchup, potentially Junction-Fall City, will be very, I think the winner of that game, respect to a team like Somerville, but the winner of that game, I think, is going to be the favorite.
Agree. To get to the regional final. Agree.
Exactly right. Okay, so that's 2A Division 2. A reminder, you can see our predictions at texasfootball.com/playoffs. On to 2A Division 1, Matthew. 2A Division 1. We will start in Region 1, as is tradition, which is the Fireworks Factory.
It's really fun.
Oh, buddy. And it's just like, with realignment, it just gave us this beautiful gift of matching Region 1 versus Region 4 in the second round. Like, that's just the way the bracket shapes out.
District 1 versus District 4.
District 1 versus District 4.
Yeah.
And as a result, barring what would be a calamitous upset, we are going to get Stanford versus Panhandle and Sunray versus Hawley in the second stinking round.
Those are regional final type matchups.
Absolutely.
And those are, we're going to get those on, in the area round. Unbelievable matchups. The way the bracket fell this year. I think you start with Sunray at the top of the bracket. Yeah. You know, they've got that guy in Armando Luján. Great comparison. I think someone, I think maybe Pickle on the show today, who kind of, this is kind of similar to, you know, reminds her of Terry Bussey's senior year, where they've made these deep runs the past 3 years, and they've
semifinals last year. They won a region last year, 2-2.
Moving up to Division One, they've been very. I mean, they have wins over Stratford, Canadian, Panhandle, like just really an impressive run.
They've beaten every team of record in the Panhandle, basically.
Yeah,
and they've beaten them soundly.
Yeah, and they beat Childress too. Like they went over. Like they're really great resume for Sunray. And then they get Holly. I mean, a really good Holly team in the second round, whose only loss is to Stanford.
Yeah. That was an undefeated Holly team until last week. And they've still got that guy in Keegan Abels, you know?
And then at the bottom of the bracket, you get Stanford and Panhandle.
I know.
I mean, Panhandle, you know, Broxton Robinson, I saw him play last year. Dude is unbelievable. They've got one loss on the year to Sunray. And they're gonna get Stanford. I mean, we're potentially going to have 11-0 versus 10-1 in the first round of the playoffs.
Twice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you get 2-11-0, 10-1, and both of them, just put them both in Lubbock. Let's have a doubleheader at Lowry Field, Amarillo versus Abilene area. Just have it at Lowry Field, neutral site. Visit Lubbock game. Let's go.
You are only doing that for yourself.
Listen,
you are.
I am a value shopper.
This is as selfish as you've ever been.
Who doesn't want to see those two games? Like, come on.
The team that kind of gets lost in the wash here, I think, is Post.
V&A, let's go to Lubbock and watch those two games. What do you say? Let's do it. We're going to go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I think Post is the team that gets lost in the wash here. That's a 10-0 Post team. They're rolling.
Yeah, nobody's talking about them. I mean,
and they've got a clear path to the third round.
I think they should get to the third round. Now, it's going to get real tough in the third round with Holly or Sunray. But, yeah, Post, I mean, they were back-to-back state finalists not that long ago.
I know.
You know, so... I think if you're looking for another sleeper, I like Reagan County. They've got a kid just committed to UTEP, a great athlete. They're 9-1 on the year. Really interesting team. Potential second round game against that Abernathy Stinnett West Texas game is going to be a really good 2-7-3 teams going at it in the first round. So this is the region that's I think the deepest in 2A Division One.
So that's 2A Division One Region One. And now for something completely different. 2A Division One Region Two.
Shrug emoji.
Let me put it to you this way. According to the computer, the difference between the number one rated team and the number eight rated team is 14 points.
Which is, in the grand scheme of things, is not much.
It's a two-touchdown game. Like, if it's a two-touchdown game, it wouldn't surprise you if the underdog won.
No.
You know what I mean?
Literally eight teams who can win this region.
Absolutely. Like, to me, I guess it probably starts with Hamilton.
Yeah.
Their lack of playoff pedigree gives me pause.
Sure.
But, like, they do look like the best team.
And we were in Hamilton week one.
Remember? We were. Look at us.
And no one in Hamilton told us, hey, we're going to be really good this year.
No one went up to us. What the heck, Hamilton?
Man. We were just there eating at Storms, and no one came up to us and said, hey, we're going to be really good this year.
Yeah, I was reading the Hamilton paper.
And they were poor boy in it. Oh, it's going to, you know.
Well, I don't know.
Some things go right. We got a chance to make the playoffs.
And
yeah, come on. What are we even doing?
So Hamilton probably feels like the safest pick, if there is such a thing as a safe pick. But I could also see them losing literally in the second round.
Yeah, to Frankston or Italy.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
This is not us playing like it's anybody's ballgame. Like, literally, we have no idea. No.
I could see Tioga. They had a great run last year. A lot of those guys are back.
Tioga, Mildred. I think Wolf City may lay claim to having the single best playmaker.
H.D. Davis. I think Ish is going to see Wolf City on Thursday.
Axtell was a preseason darling of ours.
Yeah.
They're in that mix. I think 5-5 Kearns can win the region.
Yeah. DeLeon, 6-4.
Yes.
It's wild. It's a very wide open region.
Like, it's one of the things, if you go back and listen to the preseason episode of Tep and Step,
we said the same thing.
We were talking about this region. We were like, man, it's anybody's ballgame. And I think we thought there would be clarity at this point.
Nope.
Mm-mm. There's just not. In fact, it's gotten less clear because we weren't talking about Hamilton.
No, we did not. We talked about some of these teams. We did not mention Hamilton as a regional favorite in the preseason. So I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This bracket's going to have – we're not saying that this is going to be a boring bracket.
No.
I think it's one of the most interesting brackets because every week you don't know what's going to happen.
It's so evenly matched. This is probably the region I have the worst feel for in any bracket.
But it's the bracket that I'll be watching closely to see, who won this week?
Absolutely.
It's going to be crazy.
Region 3. Region 3 is really, it's the speed region. I think there's plenty of speed out here. I know a lot of the staff is on Honeygrove, and for good reason. Honeygrove has looked the part. They've looked excellent.
Their one loss is to Winsboro, who's a 3A Division I team, who lost by 7 to Malakoff.
Correct.
And they didn't have, Honeygrove didn't have Rylan Morris in that game, the Baylor commit.
They've got Rylan Morris. I think Garrison is in this mix, too. I think getting over that Timpson hump a couple weeks ago is a huge deal for them. Timpson has been just their bug. Terry Bussey has personally victimized Garrison.
This entire region. Yeah, especially exactly. Garrison.
Especially Garrison.
And that's like a big rivalry.
Yeah.
Garrison and Timpson are huge rivals, and I know Garrison probably had a send-off parade for Terry Bussey when he went to
A&M. They were like, see you, buddy. Yeah, have fun at College Station. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. We're tired of you.
Beckville has reloaded in a hurry. They've been great.
It's been really impressive, Cody Ross's ball club, considering they lost, you know, Jacoby Williams to Texas Tech, and we kind of wrote them off. They've been really good this year.
Centerville, 9-1, a team to beat.
No one talks about Centerville, and they're always just kind of right there, 8-1, 9-2, and then you look up, and they're playing on third round of the playoffs.
Playing on Thanksgiving. I'm on Wascom, though. I saw them in person.
You've been Wascom-pilled.
I have been Wascom-pilled. I'm in. I think that Wade Lawson's ball club is for real. I think they have got dudes, just straight up dudes. They play with an edge.
Mm-hmm.
They play with an edge. They are fast and they are very, very sound. Like, they tackle really well and they play with an edge. I'm in on Wascom. I like Honeygrove, but I don't love them, and that's why I was like, I'm good enough to like take a chance on a team like Wascom.
My concern on Honeygrove is going to be the health, the injuries. Are they healthy? I think if Honeygrove's healthy, I think they got the most dudes and the best chance to win it. Wascom Garrison in round two,
hot.
That's going to be fun.
Hot.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I think the best single player in the region is Shelbyville's DJ Barnes.
Yes.
Two-time Mr. Texas Football Player of the Week. Unbelievable basketball player as well. I think Shelbyville
Sure Shelbyville can actually stop anybody, but they can score with anybody.
Well, DJ Barnes, when he puts up 300, when he puts up a 300-300 game, it's like, well, I mean, that seems pretty good to me.
Shelbyville is...
They'll play a 53-51 game on you.
Shelbyville is the official, like, cut-the-brakes team of the year.
Yes, yeah.
Like, the average score of their game is 45-35.
That sounds
fun. The average score.
You're going to be entertained if you go to a Shelbyville
game.
Absolutely. You will get your bang for your buck.
So Region 4. Region 4 is probably the other power nexus of 2A Division 1 and something we probably could have seen coming in the season. I think you've got two favorites, and if you want to call them a sleeper, but a team that people probably aren't talking about. The two favorites are Refugio and Ganado.
Sure.
And the way that the bracket broke down, they would see each other in Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. Refugio wants a piece of them. They feel like they got their pants pulled down last year.
They did. They feel like it. They did. I mean, Ganado put it on them in the playoffs last year. And I agree. I think Refugio wants a piece of them, and I think Ganado's like, hey, we're here.
Like, we're for real. And, like, there's reason to believe. I believe that getting Bryce Ullman back from injury,
they've been
a different ball team, different ball club. The team that nobody's talking about is Mason.
Yeah, yeah. The Cowpunchers, yeah.
They have been exceptional. They've been old school Mason.
They look like they're back to their old ways after some down years
by their standard.
You think they're pissed that the Puncher Dome got damaged in a storm, and they're just like taking out on the rest of Class 2A? Like, our stadium, our beautiful sweet stadium, got damaged in a storm. Now we're going to take it out on everybody else.
They play old school football. I am, like, to me, if you're Mason, you're on the clean side of the bracket.
Yeah,
and Refugio and Ganado, one of them.
And the thing is, Refugio and Ganado are going to play in the third round, and that's going to be an emotional game. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that game is probably going to get a lot of starch taken out of them in the win. And you got to turn around the next week and sack up and play Mason. Mm-hmm. That's a tough ass back-to-back weeks.
It is going to be a lot of fun there. Region 4 is the one thing I feel pretty good about. Right now, I would pencil in Region 1 versus Region 4 in the championship. That is probably what I'd say. Like, I don't think there's a team from Region 2. I think Region 4 is going to be favored over Region 3 in a tie.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, they
Terry Bussey this year.
And up until last year, remember, very famously, Region 4 has just dominated Region 3.
Yes. Last year, it took Terry Bussey putting the cape on. Yeah. Even that game last year, Ganado took Timpson to the wire there. So if you're looking for a sleeper in Region 4, keep an eye on Marlin.
Yeah.
They very quietly have had a good year under first-year head coach Jeff Rogers.
Yeah, keep an eye on Marlin. That is 2A to 3A, Matthew. I guess we'll talk a little bit about 3A football. 3A Division 2. We'll start in Region 1. And in Region 1, the question surrounding Region 1 is always Canadian or somebody else. I think we're in a somebody else here.
Yeah, I think so. Canadian's still very good, but they're just not. There's chinks in the armor this year.
Yeah,
They're just not where they have been in the past, and I think finally this year Wall gets over the hump. I think this Wall team under first year head coach Craig Slaughter. You know, there was a lot of controversy this offseason around Wall and making the coaching change, and the kids, you know, have just plugged along and been very good, and they. You know, it seems like this is their year to get over that hump. They've played Canadian in the regional final, I think, the last 2 years, and Canadian's got the best of them. I think this is the year that Wall gets over that hump. I think it's a two-team race. So I don't – unfortunately for Muleshoe, they're playing Canadian in the first round of the playoffs because Muleshoe's just been decimated by injuries to their skill players. I think Josue Sagala's out. Their stud receiver's out. Mm-hmm. I think the quarterback Martins is back, but – There's a lot of young, they're struggling towards the end of the year. And so they're getting Canadian in the first round. It's unfortunate. I think Muleshoe would have been in this conversation had they been healthy. If it's anybody but those two teams,
I got one.
Idaloo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's Idaloo.
And that's why I think for Wall, and why I like Wall, I think they're on the clean side of the region.
Yeah, because Idaloo and Canadian are going to probably play in the third round of the playoffs, and that's going to be a physical. Idaloo, one thing you can say about Idaloo is they will be physical.
Punch you in the mouth.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's Wall, though. Like, Canadian's defense just kind of scares me. I think it's gotten better, but like there have been a couple times where
getting Wyatt Davis back has helped. I think he had like 24 tackles last week against Childress. Yeah. He's all over the place.
He's an animal,
yeah.
Exactly. To Region 2 we go. Region 2... It's probably Gunner.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be shocking if anyone but Gunner wins it. But I do think Region 2 is better than it has been.
I think it is, and I will say this: like for Gunner, they have a weirdly tricky path, much trickier in the sense that they are playing fundamentally a district champion in round one because Cedar Hill TLC won their district, but. They had
some UIL issues.
Issues. They had to forfeit a ton of games, won their final game to finish fourth instead. So now they play Gunner. Mm-hmm. Then the second round, I would contend to you, Wichita Falls City View is a high ceiling team.
Yes.
That
it's
with
a good second place
athletes they've got can challenge Gunner.
The teams that have beaten Gunner in the past have generally had really good skill talent.
Yes.
That's you know, Canadian and when they've had Gunner's number, they were really athletic. Newton in the state championship game, Franklin in their state championship game. Obviously, this year Anna. Those are big. It's hard to talk about Anna and Salina because they're so much bigger than Gunner, but they obviously had an athlete edge. That's the way you beat Gunner. You have to be able to out athlete them on the edges and then play to a stalemate up front.
Holiday's
City View has the athletes to give them a challenge.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Holiday and Toller are interesting too. Shout out to Toller making the move up and
9-1.
9-1. Did they lose their first game?
I believe they did lose. I think they lost the season opener. And a new coach too. 9-1 under a new coach, Blake Mauser, coming over from Vandegrift. Been great. I think there's a pretty reasonable path for Toller to be in the third round of the playoffs in their first year in 3A. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Shout out to the Snake Farm.
Yeah, but it's got to be Gunner, I think, is your favorite. By the way, that third round matchup, Toller and Holiday, will be really fun. It's a good matchup.
Jacksboro's another team that kind of injured. Landon Sams, our star running back, has been banged up. I think he's out for the year, but you know, Cannon Valenzuela is still there. And
a dog.
He's got that dog in him.
He does. Region 3. To Region 3 we go, where I put it to you kind of yesterday on, or rather Saturday on the bracket reveal
Seems
show.
Seems like it was yesterday.
It's like I haven't slept.
It was so late Saturday.
I haven't, but to me, it's like in Region 3, you can go like known commodity or like brand name, or you can go like hipster shopping. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to go brand name, Newton there.
Newton
took some early losses, but they are back. They are back playing Newton football, and they are a team that I think has flown under the radar, which is exactly how Drew Johnston likes to do it, right? They've been very, very strong. I think you could also say the same thing about a team, you know, like Dangerfield. Dangerfield took some lumps early.
They really struggled early in the year.
Really struggled. Yeah. I think they've gotten their wheels back on. Interesting first round matchup with Harmony. But if you want to go hipster shopping, New Diana.
New Diana is the new hotness.
The highest scoring team in 3A Division 2.
Yeah, they are the new hot thing out there.
Is it Jawan Johnson? Is that his name?
Believe
the
so.
New Diana quarterback.
Or is it DeJuan Johnson?
Let me look. He's a sophomore. I'm going to need to know his name for the next couple of years.
Yes, he will.
His name is DeJuan Johnson.
Yeah, DeJuan Johnson, yeah.
DeJuan Johnson. I think Jawan Johnson played receiver for the 49ers. But their offense is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And Jason Pitt's done a terrific job there. And then you have Grant Saleen, Joe Drennan,
mm-hmm.
who has state championship pedigree, led Mineola to a state championship. Like, why not Grant Saleen?
And they've got the quarterback, Jet Lewis, I think mm-hmm. is his name. Jet something.
I think that's right.
Yeah. He's put up some huge numbers this year.
They've been strong. So, to me, it's a real choose-your-own-adventure in Region 3. I think there's not a real right answer there. I think it wouldn't surprise me if Newton got hot and won the region.
No.
And also, if we saw New Diana, I think that, a third-round matchup, New Diana? I mean, New Diana's going to have to go
Taylor.
Through.
Yeah. Grand Slam. Jet Taylor.
Jet Taylor.
Sorry. Jet.
New Diana's going to have to go through Dangerfield, Newton, and then potentially Grand Slam. Or DeKalb. DeKalb's not a bad team either.
DeKalb's got to win over Dangerfield.
They do. So exactly right.
If you're looking for a sleeper, keep an eye on Woodville.
Uh-huh.
I think, Ty Robinson's ball club, moving down from Division 1 to Division 2, only finishing second behind Newton. I could see Woodville, especially the top side of that bracket, because of Grand Saline, their lack of playoff pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tricky second round game for Grand Saline. I could see Woodville running all the way to a regional final.
Region four. You want to talk about the impact of one particular game, dude? Tidehaven beating East Bernard turns this into an absolute blender
mm-hmm.
because now we are probably getting Poth and East Bernard in the second round
of
the
playoffs.
That's a regional
final type.
That's a regional final game. And honestly, if they had, because it's a 1-point game, right? If East Bernard had beaten Tidehaven, it would be the regional final. I would say that is going to be the regional final.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get in the second round.
And then the winner of that game is probably going to get Lexington.
Yeah.
Because Lexington lost to Blanco.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So this is a deeper region than people think.
Yeah.
I think Blanco, no one talks about them. They were a regional finalist in Division 1 last year.
Yeah.
They dropped down to Division 2, and we kind of all took Lexington to win their district, and Blanco was like, hey,
we're here too.
And I think Blanco should run to the third round of the playoffs.
I think you're right. They are on the favorable side of the bracket.
I think we're looking in this bracket in the regional semifinals. I think we're looking at Blanco, Tidehaven, Lexington versus the winner of East Bernard Poth. That's a really good four pack there in that region.
It really is. Region 4 has some real depth in it, and because of one or two results like Blanco over Lexington and because of Tidehaven over East Bernard, we kind of get to the fireworks factory
yes.
pretty quickly there in Region 4. So that's 3A Division 2. To 3A Division 1 we go. We will start in Region 1, where I made the point on my bracketology video, and I think I did on the prediction. I just talk so much, Matthew.
You're going to need the Halls and the Ricola. And it's like coaching school, right? This is like coaching school.
Yeah. Just talking so much. It's yapping.
Yep, King.
Are you tired of V&A? Are you tired of hearing Tepper yap?
I have been hitting record all day.
Yeah.
I'm the one that records.
I'm sorry.
Am I tired of it? Nah.
Region 1.
As long as that direct deposit hits, right?
Region 1. Region 1. I don't think anybody separated themselves in Region 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Region 1 probably has... I think it's probably a little higher upside than, what we were talking about, 2A Division 1, Region 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the same thing of, there's, three or four teams that are all pretty bunched together that there's no reason to believe that there's going to be any sort of difference.
For the past, 8 years, it's been, all right, Brock, semifinals.
Yeah, exactly right.
This region's boring. Brock's going to destroy everyone.
We knew there was going to be a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if anybody's really filled that vacuum quite yet.
No, I mean, shallow water, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but... I mean, that's a tricky second round. That Peaster Comanche second round. That's a really good first round game. The winner of that's going to be a tough challenge with shallow water.
Mm-hmm.
How about Lamisa? First year head coach Efren Ramos. Lamisa's been down bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over from Anna after being defensive coordinator at Anna. Lamisa, I don't think they're going to make a deep playoff run. They should get out of the first round. That's a district champion team there. So shout out to those guys. I think Sweetwater, Jim Ned, Paradise,
shallow
Bushland,
water.
All kind of are challengers mm-hmm. to shallow water. I think this is going to be a really fun an interesting region. I don't think there's a, it's kind of like 2A Division 1 Region 2 where I don't have a clear-cut favorite. There's like six or seven teams that it wouldn't shock me if they won this region.
That are all stacked together. I think you're right. Region 2, I think, does have a clear-cut favorite. The Malakoff Tigers. To me...
I love this region. I think Malakoff...
You disagree.
I do, but I don't have a problem with people picking Malakoff. I think there's a strong case being made for Malakoff. I think this region is loaded.
Yeah.
And I think the two primary challengers to Malakoff are coming out of the same district. Mm-hmm. Liberty Ilo and Jefferson. Jefferson was my pick to win the region. 10-0. Cameron Williams, the UNLV committed running back. Head coach Ty Taylor in his first year. He's got championship pedigree from his time at Pleasant Grove. And he texted me. He texted me this afternoon about the picks. And he's like, hey, man, thanks for the confidence. He goes, we're going to try to make you look smart. So I think they're a great team. But then Liberty Ilo lost to Jefferson by a point. Mm-hmm. Their two losses are to Carthage and to Jefferson by 1 point. And I look at the top side of that bracket. I think Liberty Ilo can get to the regional final.
I think they can, too.
I mean, Winsboro's going to be tough.
Winsboro's tough, but like...
Camden Capehart at Winsboro, the Mississippi State commit. That dude's fast.
He is very
good. Dude is fast.
Yeah. I'm really interested in... Like, that first round matchup, Winsboro and Atlanta, is a good ball game.
We're talking about Atlanta now. Hello.
I know who's going to win, but it's a good ball game.
You're banned from Atlanta, Texas. You are not allowed in Atlanta. Tepper's face is on, like, the sign in Atlanta when you drive into town.
I've been burned too many times.
Yeah.
Mejia, or as a friend of ours.
Carter Yates calls it Mexia. Shout out, Carter.
They are, you know, won a district championship.
Aaron Now is going to text me like, dude, what the hell?
I think that second round matchup with Liberty Ilo is problematic, though.
It is, but great considering what Mahe has gone through this year. That, you know, they had a young man that passed away mid season, and they've rallied around that, and they made sure to post the disrespect season on Twitter that we picked them fifth in district, and they proved us wrong. And shout out to Mahe. It's good to see the Black Cats. One of the best logos that the Black Cat helmet.
The spooky helmet.
The spooky cat is unbelievable.
I like Malakoff. I think championship pedigree, been there before. We haven't talked a ton about him, I think, because they haven't run through a difficult schedule, and you were gone last week, so we didn't get to talk about Malakoff because that was their big game of the year. Dude, getting Jason Tennyson back for them is so huge.
Yeah, they needed him because they didn't. You know, this is a team that last year Malakoff had an unusually good depth for a 3A Division I team. They're not as deep this year. They still have the frontline talent. They've got Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. 281-330-8004. They've got Tennyson. They've got Parker Poteet. They've got the frontline talent, but then there's not a lot of depth behind them. So I'm interested to see if they can run the gauntlet in a tough region, because you're looking at, to get to the state semifinals, you're probably going to play, Tatum, Pottsboro.
Tatum's a great fourth place team.
Tatum, Pottsboro, Jefferson, and then probably Liberty Ilo.
Yeah.
That's a tough tough road to get to the state semifinals.
Absolutely. To Region 3 and the Fireworks Factory. Region 3 is the region we've been waiting for, we finally get a look at it. I think that overall, I think that if you are Franklin, you are pleased as punch with the way that this bracket broke down. I think you're thrilled.
I think
they got the cleanest look of any of the contenders.
I think they're gonna cruise into the third round of the All due respect to the other three teams in that little quad there, but I think Franklin's a clear favorite to get the third round.
And you may be thinking, well, you know, clear favorite to get to the third round. I would say clear favorite to make it to a regional final. That's not a knock on anybody. Hitchcock lives there, but Hitchcock's so banged up right now.
This is the bracket that could have been.
Yes.
This is the bracket that injuries have taken a bite out of some of their, you know, Columbus, you know, has battled some injuries this year. Hitchcock has had some key injuries. So this region, I think, would have been even more fun had it not been for some gosh darn injuries.
Because the top, band injuries.
Bold take by
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Courageous take. Top half of the bracket's fascinating. You're going to get second round matchup Columbus and Palestine Westwood.
Let me tell you, if you like points,
buddy,
get your calculators out for that game. That scoreboard is going to be lit up.
It's going to be fantastic.
I've already had people text me, hey, where do you think Palestine Westwood and Columbus are going to play? And I'm like, I don't know. Waco?
Yeah, I don't know.
Waco or North Houston?
But that is a fantastic ball game.
Kavy and Bryant going against Adam Schoble? Come on.
So good. Pointsy. But I think Columbus is your favorite here. I like Columbus to come out of this region. Mm. But I also think that if you're Franklin, you're feeling like, buddy, we've been in the state championship the last 4 years.
I picked against Franklin last year, and Franklin Nation let me hear about it. Yeah. I'm not picking against them this year. I'm mean, they've been to state 4 years in a row. At some point, you just got to go, man, those guys just, they're just ball playing dudes, man. And they got, Jaden Jackson. They got a running back named Bubba. Like, come on. You got to, if you got, Franklin and Longview have running backs named Bubba. There's another Bubba out there. But if you got a Bubba on your team, you're probably going to get some love from
that. That's advanced analytics right there. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. That's why you pay for this podcast.
Thank you.
But I do think we're probably heading for a Columbus versus Franklin showdown in the regional final.
Hey, sign me up for that. I'll
bet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Region 4. Region 4 does feel like the region with a clear favorite.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Pickle to barge through that door with the Kool-Aid man and go, Lano! don't think it's happening, though.
Edna's the
Can you imagine Pickle just kicking down the door like the Kool-Aid man and just repping Lano?
Edna's the clear favorite.
What a visual.
Edna's the clear favorite, and they're on, in my opinion, the clean side of the bracket. Although, Universal City Randolph!
Look, we love the troops.
We do love the troops.
Air troops, you know? Is there a better match? Your mileage may vary, but when your mascot is a hawk sitting on top of a rocket and you're just called the Rohawks, like, come on. That's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah, brother.
DNA, I want you to look up Universal City Randolph's mascot and just tell me what you think of that.
Who?
Just look up Universal City Randolph.
And their mascot.
We're talking. I want your genuine reaction when you see it. We'll keep talking.
Lano, at the top of the bracket, I think they're probably the favorite at the top half. Goliad, I think, looms as well. That's a team that I think has flown under the radar. But they're probably the favorite. I will just say this. By a small amount of stake in San Diego. I like the San Diego
Vaqueros.
Ball Club.
I'm the Vaqueros.
The Vaqueros, I think, are playing exceptionally well. Yes. Did you see the Rohawk?
Are you still looking up the Rohawk, Lee? This is not going as well as I thought.
Randolph Rohawks.
Yeah.
Yes. What?
Isn't that
cool?
Anyway.
Whoa.
I like a hawk on a rocket, right?
Wow.
I like Edna.
I want to be a Rohawk.
Yeah.
I like Edna in Region
4. We all want to be Rohawks.
We all want to be Rohawks.
That's cool.
I like
you
Edna.
You know who's a Rohawk alum? Sorry, David Smoke.
Yeah. I know he always plays up that big game. Yeah. I like Edna, and I would say that second round match between Lano and San Diego has my attention. I'm very interested.
I like Lano as long as me and Mike Roach don't show up, because we have been banned from Lano games, according to Pickle.
And that is Class 3A. Done. Check.
Yay.
We're halfway done, Matthew. It's 4A Division 2 time.
We're sorry.
To 4A Division 2. I'll put timestamps in the podcast.
Okay, next. Good.
4A Division 2.
V&A's giving me side eye over
Is Graham...
Take your time.
...the prohibitive favorite here? I know you didn't pick him.
No.
I just think I'm having a hard time seeing how anybody's going to score on him.
Which is so weird to say about Graham.
Because
Graham for years has been known as, and they've won like 5 7-on-7 championships. They've been known as an offensive juggernaut, and kind of defense is kind of optional. Yeah. We'll win 45-38. They've got like 6 shutouts. They shut out Brock. I mean, they've been really good on the defensive side of the ball.
It's been incredible. Their defense has been great.
I just think my thing about Glen Rose is they're healthy. They battled some injuries this year. I think they're getting all their guys back at the right time. And they got the pedigree. They've won the region the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing that they have going for them, is that they have been there, done that. I don't bury Brock. And, in fact, I think Brock can probably make it to the third round of the playoffs.
I think they're on the softer side of the bracket.
Yeah, they're on the softer side of the bracket.
Yeah. Midland Greenwood in the third round could be tricky. But
first round matchup, Benbrook and Mineral Wells is interesting to me.
That is a good look. That's a good first round.
That's a real sicko heat check. Of like, if you're into Benbrook and Mineral Wells, you're like, yeah, that's my kind of thing.
I'm hello, it's me, Benbrook Mineral Wells guy.
But I think that right now we're probably looking at a regional semifinal, although Seminole looms as well. I don't want to throw dirt on Seminole.
Glen Rose has got a tricky path. Congrats to Eagle Mountain getting into the playoffs year one. They're going to be really good next year, by the way. But Glen Rose, Seminole, Graham back-to-back before you would probably play Brock. That's a tough road for Graham.
Very tough road.
For Glen Rose.
I'm rolling with Graham. I think that defense and Ty Thompson kind of gives them the edge. To Region 2. It is time now for the Scott Surratt Revenge Tour to come into
the machine is about to go online, buddy.
Because Carthage, you may remember, in the regional final last year, got beaten overtime by Gilmer, and then Gilmer went on to win a state championship.
Gilmer Media Mafia celebrated greatly that night.
They absolutely did, and they should have.
It's a huge win for their program because Carthage, let me tell you, has had their number.
They have been their Gilmer's been their whipping boy. For Carthage, number one team in the state, rolling. Everyone's healthy, it sounds like.
Yeah.
They've figured out what works offensively, which is just a snoot full of KJ Edwards, and then, like, Jet Surratt hitting you over the top.
Oh, the play-action game at Carthage?
Oh, God.
Chef's kiss.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I will say this. They're on the dirty side of the region because they will see Pleasant Grove in the third round of the playoffs, mm-hmm. and that is a team you do not want to see right now.
They're young, and they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Josh Gibson's done it. This has been, in my opinion, an incredible coaching job by that staff at Pleasant Grove.
They are, and here's a spoiler for next year's magazine, okay? They're going to start the year highly ranked next year.
Breaking.
Yeah. And then Gilmer. Gilmer is there, you know, they have had fits and starts. Strangely, they've had fits and starts offensively.
Yeah, the defense hasn't clicked. Yeah, it just hasn't clicked this year. I mean, they've got some nice wins. Like, we talk about it, and Gilmer, they've got wins over Brenham mm-hmm. and Kilgore.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've also had losses to Pine Tree and Pleasant, which aren't bad losses, but they were beaten by double digits in both those games.
So it's been
odd with Gilmer this year.
And so I want to believe in them. First round matchup with Center is interesting, by the way.
Yeah, Center. I tell you what, the team I'm keeping on the top of the bracket is Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I think Athens has a shot. I think we're looking at an Athens Gilmer third round of the playoffs. Gilmer will be favored over Athens, but Athens is tricky. Zach Harrell's done a great job there.
That Athens Van first round matchup is really good too.
That is, that's if Athens can get through Van, because Van is very good as well.
In my opinion, you pick against Carthage in the playoffs at your own peril. Plain and simple. Any round.
Mm-hmm.
Any
mm-hmm.
round. But I will say this. If you're going to get Carthage, you better get them early. Because the later it gets, the better they get.
True.
That's the thing about them. Region 3. Region 3 feels like you can go about six different ways.
Yeah. Belleville, last year's champion in Region 3, not near as dominant this year. No. But I do feel like they're getting it together at the right time.
I agree.
They're playing their best football at the right time, which is why I picked them to win the region.
They've been banged up. I believe that they had another – D.D. Murray's their star running back, but they have another mm-hmm. running back that I believe has been on the shelf for them.
Yeah, their other running back got hurt, I think, in the Salina game, and I think he's out for the year. But now the other guys have started to step up. They got mm-hmm. a couple of guys on defense back. And it's not like, other than Salina, they didn't lose by double. Like, they lost to Hitchcock by a touchdown. That Columbus, I think, beat them by two touchdowns. So it's not like they were losing to bad teams. But I think they're starting to get it together. They're peaking at the right time.
Hampshire Finette, the District 9, Hampshire Finette, West Orange Stark. What a win for Hampshire Finette.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Bryson is that dude.
Yes, he is. He's had to be because of the injury to Chris Augustine. I was at the game when Chris Augustine got hurt against Fort Ben Crawford. Mm-hmm. He gave them a lot of balance, and they've had to pretty much make the whole plan out of Ty Bryson, and that seems to work.
But I'll tell you this. Second round matchup with Robinson.
That's tricky.
Danger.
Yeah.
And then third round. I mean, after that, I think they're going to be favored. I'll tell you this. Jasper's a problematic four seed. Okay?
Yes.
That is a team.
I think Jasper's a favorite over West Columbia in that game.
I
will pick Jasper to win that game.
I mean, I think so.
And I think that Jasper Madisonville is intriguing in the mm-hmm. second round. Mm-hmm. I could see a scenario where Kendrick Crummity's ball club gets out of that game, too.
And then, down at the bottom, Waco La Vega and West Orange Stark would be a rematch, right?
They played in the regular season neutral site game mm-hmm. in Madisonville. West Orange won a close one. I think La Vega's playing good football
right now. I think so, too.
Don Hyde's ball club is...
They've grown.
Yes.
They've really grown after a slow start, and they are a team. Again, I always look at teams that play a physical brand of football. And I mean, there's no doubt that they play a physical brand of football.
That's correct.
One that's going to be very interesting. Region 3 is fascinating, mm-hmm. absolutely mm-hmm. fascinating. And then there's Region 4. Region 4 is, again, much like we were talking about with Gunner, it's the question in that region is always, is it Gunner or the field?
Mm-hmm.
And the question here is it Wimberley or the field? And for the first time in what feels like a while, there's an actual other contender mm-hmm. in the field in Senton.
Well, Cuero, yeah, and Cuero's return. I think since Cuero is, I think, the last team to beat Wimberley within the region.
Yeah.
Cuero's not quite as strong as they are, but they're back, and they would play Wimberley probably in the third round, which would be, that'll be a tough matchup for Wimberley. It's much tougher for Wimberley this year.
I just need to see how far the Cuero defense has come.
Yeah.
That's the question for me. I know they're going to score. Their offense is very, very good,
mm-hmm.
but their defense gives me a little
bit of
pause.
And slowing down Cody Stover is going to mm-hmm. be a challenge. I think Senton at the bottom of the bracket has got a pretty good path to the fourth round.
I think so, too.
Mike Troutman's ball club, Tristan Hansen, Derek Garcia, Jacoby Jones, they've got that kind of the triplets there, and you know that Troutman's going to have them playing a physical brand of defense.
And their defense.
Sentin people. If I come to a Sentin game, I need someone to bring me a tortilla burger. Thank you, and please.
He's always like this.
Sorry.
He's literally always like this.
The tortilla burger is a Sentin. It's a San Patricio County delicacy.
I think we are careening.
One more time for the camera.
No, we're not doing that.
One shot here?
No, we're not one-shotting it. I will say, I think
not
that...
Not one-shotting tortilla burgers?
Sinton and Wimberley feels like a regional final.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to be... That'll be box office. That'll be like changing of the guard moment there.
Could be.
Absolutely. That's the real question.
This is the year for Sinton. If they're going to get it done, this is the year. This senior class has been together for a while.
It's 4A Division 2. A reminder, you can see our predictions at texasfootball.com/playoffs. On to 4A Division 1 we go, and in 4A Division 1, Region 1 has, like, what I'll call, like, the phantom favorite, in the sense of, there is, in my opinion, one team that can win this region that is so clearly the favorite that nobody's talking about for some reason. Buddy, yeah. If Stephenville doesn't win this region, I'd be stunned.
I'd be shocked. I think it's because they lost to Ruston, but look, Ruston beat Longview.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hold that against Stephenville at all.
No.
Like, Ruston's loaded. They're the best team in Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
I
want to believe in a team, like, Lampasas is getting healthier, it sounds like.
And they played Stephenville tough. Yeah. It was a 10-point game. Yeah. Like, that was competitive.
Who out of region or district 2? Because district 2 is the other place that has some
West Plains, I think.
Yeah.
They were pretty dominant in district play. You know, Reed Macon, their quarterback, 4-year starter, has been around. I think if there's anybody other than Stephenville Lampasas, it's West Plains. Well, by the way, this district's got some really weirdo first round matchups. Andrews and Burnett, Lampasas and Pecos.
Yeah.
Just some oddball first
round
games.
What's fun about this time of year is that the stuff that you and I have been talking about since February starts coming into focus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people are like, wait a second, Nederland's got to go to Texarkana? Mm-hmm. It's like, uh-huh.
We told you.
We told you that on February 9th or whatever.
Go listen to February Tap and Step.
But this is I think you're right. Stephenville, not only in my opinion, are they the most complete team in this region, but they also, in my opinion, have the clearest path in this region.
I think they're going to walk to her. I mean, all due respect to the teams on the bottom. I think Stephenville's going to win every game by 3-4 touchdowns.
I totally agree.
This is what it is.
Don't disagree with you. On to Region 2. Region 2, I think, also has a clear favorite here by virtue of, like, but that is more of a testament to, like, how good that team is in
Correct.
Salina.
Because mm-hmm.
Salina has looked complete all year long. I also think that they got a pretty decent draw because the top half of that region, I think, is where things get
hit. Yeah, I think Salina at the bottom of the bracket, they should, I think, roll to a regional final. I just don't see anyone at the bottom of the bracket that can stay within 3 touchdowns of them. The top of the bracket, though,
buddy,
you got some. There's gonna be some bangers in the second round. You got, you know, Springtown, Sulphur Springs. I think Sulphur Springs and Dallas Carter first round game mm-hmm. should be really fun. Alvarado, offensively, Alvarado is as good as any Cartier Collier.
Yes,
cool name, cool game. He's a guy who just gets it done and puts up like 7 touchdowns this mm-hmm. in his sleep. He's a 3-year starter. He's been there, and you got Panther Creek, fresh off a dominant win over Sulphur mm-hmm. Springs to close the season out. I think they're kind of flying under the radar because they lost to Salina so lopsidedly. I think no one's talking about Panther Creek, and they're getting their stuff together as well. There's going to be some fun. And then Springtown.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't talked about Springtown at all. They've won 9 in a row. Like, we could have a Springtown, Sulphur Springs, Alvarado, Panther Creek area round playoff games.
Both at the top of the bracket. Both top of the region, which is going to keep Salina relatively clean.
Yes.
You know, that's the advantage of winning that district, is that it kind of clears your path there to make it so that they should be, again, a regional finalist at the minimum, and a lot of those teams they've already beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Over the other side of the bracket, Region 3. It's time to have the Kilgore conversation. Because you're picking Kilgore not just to win the region, but to win state.
I was on them in preseason. I'm sticking with it.
I don't disagree with you, like, holistically. My concern for them is the ability to put together 6 consistent performances.
It's fair. That's fair criticism of them.
Because it feels like they're, like, at times they've looked like the best team in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And at other times, they have lost to a team that missed the playoffs.
The Henderson loss was the head scratcher for sure. But since the Henderson loss, 42-7 over Chapel Hill. 42-21 over
a very wounded Chapel Hill team. I'm not trying to make excuses here, but
52-7 over Palestine. 48-9 Like, they've been dominant since
they have been. Absolutely.
So, and Chapel Hill, we talk definitely wounded, but you look at how Chapel Hill closed the season. Like, they beat Henderson 42-14. So this shows you how weird 0-9-4A Division One was.
That's the thing. I can absolutely see Kilgore. I'm just saying this. I can see Kilgore winning the state championship, and I can see them losing to Needville in the second round. Like, both of those feel possible.
I feel that same way about Huntsville in 5A Division 2.
We'll talk about that. Because that's the thing about... So, I like this Kilgore team. They just scare me. That's the thing about it. The other team here, like, there's two things. One, Huffman Hargrave and Chapel Hill is a legit spectacular.
It's a really good. Chapel Hill's got to go on the road. Yep. I don't think Brisbane's going to play this week. I've been told maybe Area Round will be back, but Ricky Stewart. They still got Ricky Stewart, and Chapel Hill's playing better.
Yes.
I think they figured out how to play without Ricky. Brisbane. And East Texas has just dominated this region the past 4 years or so. So tricky first round matchup. Pine Tree, I think injuries have hurt them a little bit. I wish they were fully healthy. I think they're still going to get to the third round.
I think their defense can hold in it.
Yeah, it's the offense, you know, a couple of key offensive positions, they've had some injuries. I think they can still get to the third round. Then it gets tricky because you potentially have a fully healthy Chapel Hill possibly in round three. Keep an eye. I think Houston ISD, Worthing, and Yates have a chance to make a little noise. They've struggled. Houston ISD and 4A has really struggled in the playoffs. I think both those teams have a chance in the first round to make some noise.
Worthing's got the number one defense in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, they've given up like 8 points all year. They've been unbelievable.
So I think both those teams can get out of round one, which would be huge for those programs.
Buddy, Houston Worthing versus Chapel Hill potentially in the second round.
Yeah,
you want to talk about like fire versus water.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Like, that would be a lot of fun. All right, Region 4. Region 4, I think that there are a couple of teams that you can go with here. One of them is obviously LBJ. Undefeated, they've rolled past people. The thing that always gives me pause about LBJ is that we saw them beat Wimberley in like week 3, right? And since then, they have not played anyone even remotely in their weight class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are just, they're Mike Tyson just beating up, you know, like these people coming out of the crowd. That is, for me, my only concern about them. They're loaded, and they're fast, and they're playing exceptional football. Davenport, I'm in on Davenport.
This last year's regional
champ.
They
won the region last year. Mm-hmm. I think that they're a team people aren't talking about. Bay City? Buddy, like, why not Bay City?
I mean, Alex Estrada, Jada Andrews, Zyla Williams, they've got a triplet group there, and they're all three-year starters, and I think they're a team that looking at their path, I think they could run to a regional final.
Absolutely do. By the way, I would love to, like, Cal Allen and Al Campo.
Yeah, Reeve Bowl.
The Travis Reeve Bowl. If you are a Texas high school football, like, history nut, Al Campo versus Cal Allen is, like, mother's milk. I mean, it is just, like, that is as good as it gets from, like, historic programs.
I said it on the playoff bracket reveal Saturday night. Does Travis and Charlie, because Charlie Reeve, the head coach at El Campo, does their mom have a half jersey? Is it half maroon, half red?
I love the
half jersey.
Should be fun.
I agree.
It's not between that and a game we'll get to in 5A Division 1 with Red Oak and Cedar Park.
Oh, yeah, the Mike Quintero Bowl.
Like, just an odd couple odd matchups of coaching.
Can I give you one sleeper in 4A Division 1 Region 4? Keep an eye on the Sand Crabs in Port Lavaca, Calhoun. They're always tricky in the playoffs.
They are tricky.
Yeah, peace, guys. Loves crabs. That's the sign they have at their game. Peace, love crabs.
That's 4A. We're rolling along here on the bracket breakdown.
Peace, love crabs?
Yeah, that's their sign. It's like a peace sign, then a heart, and then a crab.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
5A Division 2, we go. We'll go to Region 1. We're going to talk a lot about the next region, like in it, like that's when everyone's being paying attention to it.
Sure.
And it feels like nobody's paying attention to the absolutely ridiculous amount of depth in Region 1.
Yeah, it's crazy. Dude. Region 1's been known for a long time as kind of the weakest region.
Cannon fodder.
And it's all of a sudden gone from 0 to 60 in one realignment, because this region is loaded with good teams.
It's incredible. And I would look specifically, if you want to start... This is probably the best thing I can say about it, okay? I look at a team like Prosper Walnut Grove, okay? Prosper Walnut Grove, a terrific story. Freshman quarterback leading them to a district championship in their first season.
9-1.
9-1. And I could absolutely see them losing in the first round.
Yeah, to Arlington City. The District 3 versus District 4.
Unbelievable.
All four of those matchups are. I could see Timberview being Lovejoy.
Yes,
like that. Those two districts are just gonna beat the living crap out of each other this week. Anna or Colleyville Heritage is gonna be out in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. Those are two legitimate top 10 type teams.
Anna's on the road in the first round of the playoffs. That's a defending state champ.
It's crazy.
That's a fascinating ball game as well. Lovejoy, Mansfield, Timberview, all those 1-2. The non 1-2 team that I would put you on is Del Valle.
Oh, yeah. Jake Fetty, that dude.
Buddy.
Jake Fetty rocks.
And I will also tell you this. I think they're going to be favored over Abilene Cooper, right? Then they might get Lovejoy. And I'll just tell you this.
Cut the brakes game of the week
Lovejoy,
right there.
If you do not figure out the defense, Jake Fetty will carve you up.
And they've got a Utah commit and Shelton Fuller at running back. Like, Del Valle's got dudes.
They're loaded, man.
Yeah, they're
loaded.
Good. And then Lubbock Cooper kind of lurking there at the bottom. Third place. They finished third in their district and... They beat Lovejoy.
We didn't even mention
at Lovejoy.
We didn't even mention the consensus pick here, which is Argyle.
Yeah,
that's what makes me nervous. What makes me nervous is that was one of the consensus picks for us of like Argyle winning Region 1. That does not mean we're certain.
No,
I could, buddy. Would it stun you if we were in here talking about Frisco Emerson beating Argyle?
No,
week?
It wouldn't stun me at all.
No,
Argyle's the favorite, but I think I wouldn't be shocked. There's not a trying to look at these games. Chapin beating Wichita Falls Memorial would stun me. That's like the only game. And Andrus over Abilene Wiley.
I would agree.
Those are the two games in this region that would stun me if those teams won. Other than that, the other six, I wouldn't.
You want to talk about, by the way, you want to talk about strength on strength. Canateo versus Lubbock Cooper? That's fun football, okay?
The Canateo defense against that Lubbock Cooper offense and Michael Deaver at receiver, yeah.
That's spectacular.
Michael Deaver at receiver. I'm flowing again.
Deaver the receiver.
Yeah.
You are. You're just bars.
Just spitting bars over here.
Region 2. The Fireworks Factory. It's been what we've talked about since February, Region 2, and we finally have the map. I made the point to you on text over the weekend. I said, all things considered, it does feel like South Oak Cliff got about as good of a draw as you can relatively hope for within this region, to which you replied, Huntsville's tricky.
Huntsville is the highest ceiling, lowest floor good team in 5A D2. When good Huntsville shows up, they can beat anyone, including South Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
When bad Huntsville shows up, they can lose to White House in the first round.
Yeah.
So it's a real high variance team in Huntsville, but Huntsville can match up with South Oak Cliff in the trenches. That's the key, I think, that makes Huntsville different than a lot of the other teams. They can match South Oak Cliff in the trenches.
South Oak Cliff is, of course, going to be a contender.
They're the favorite, in my opinion.
They're in Region 2. Marshall Montgomery's a spectacular first round.
Tough road trip for Montgomery, but it's a tricky first round game for Marshall. Marshall's going to have to be ready for that one.
And then bottom half of the bracket here. Obviously, you have the defending state champs in Port Angeles Groves. They are, I think that you can pencil them into the third round right now.
Agree.
I like what they've got, but that is where they will find Texas High. And I am here to tell you, I think Texas High can win this region.
Absolutely.
That's the team. For all the talk about South Oak Cliff and PNG, Texas High is happy for that to happen because I think they are legit.
I've seen them in person. They got dudes. And it's not just Tredarian Ball. Tredarian Ball obviously committed to Oregon, but they got a great quarterback, other great receivers. The one concern I have about Texas High is the defense. And then they've been known to lay an egg in the playoffs.
That's the thing about it.
Last year they got to the third round last year. I thought they'd play Lovejoy closer than they did, but they got bodied in that game. They were young.
But they'll 10-1 on you.
They have 10-1 in the past. So,
and by the way, Nederland's coming to town.
And Nederland's not a team to be messed with.
No.
That's a team that was an overtime away from winning that district.
Exactly.
So they're a good fourth place team.
It is a fascinating region. I think that if PNG is going to repeat, they'll have to earn it. And the other thing about PNG that just like the offensive inconsistency gives me pause on them.
And I think the defense has struggled at times too. Mm-hmm. They've not been.
I mean, that game against Lake Creek, you kind of never know what you're getting with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's last year, say what you want about PNG. It felt like they won a lot of close games, but they were consistent and it didn't surprise you when they won close games. They'll play a 55-48 game on you, and then the next week they'll turn around and play 24-21.
Agree, yeah.
And that's what's that. I wonder if that's going to get them bit at some point. To Region 3 we go. For all the talk we had at realignment about how, the Southeast Texas district swung to Region 2, and so Region 3 cleared out. Buddy, suddenly a very deep region, and not in the ways that you expect.
No, I mean, there is Liberty Hill.
Liberty Hill is kind of the known commodity.
But they finished second in their district. And, like, and they got a tricky second round game against Brenham, possibly.
I think they've got real defensive issues.
They do. And I think the you're starting to see the rule changes of a couple of years ago with the cut blocking. And I think it started to really impact how Liberty Hill operates offensively. Mm-hmm.
That second, buddy, Jacoby Dixon versus Liberty Hill's defense is...
that's a bad matchup.
That's a bad matchup.
Yeah, that way.
Brenham's the sleeper here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody's talking about Brenham. We're going to talk about some of the other teams here, but, like, Brenham is loaded.
I mean, obviously, Richmond Randall's the favorite at the top of the bracket. They've just been dominant, including a 20-point win over Iowa Colony, who's another favorite at the bottom of the bracket. Landon Williams-Callis has just been unbelievable. They got a lot of other playmakers aside from him. This is a team that went to the third round of the playoffs last year, a year ahead of schedule.
They're complete, man.
They are a complete team. And then I think Bastrop, what a win over Liberty Hill by Jake Greedle's ball club.
This is a real question. I would need to look through their history. There's a chance that's the biggest win in Bastrop football history.
They had a really good team. They lost in the third round of the playoffs at AT&T Stadium. I think it was AT&T Stadium. When they lost to Frisco Liberty. When Frisco Liberty had Jay Ajayi.
Oh, yeah.
They lost to Frisco Liberty in that game.
They beat Frisco Liberty.
Did they beat Frisco Liberty?
And then they lost to Mesquite Poteet in 2010. So that's probably Malik Jefferson's Mesquite Poteet team.
Yeah, and Bastrop had a guy named Josiah Monroe who was really, really good.
So at the very least, I'm comfortable saying that's their biggest win in like 15 years.
Sure. What a job Jake Greedle's done. Yeah.
He's done a terrific job. And by the way, buddy, Waco U and Fort Bend Marshall...
That's a
track meet.
That's a sexy first round.
It is really, really hot. Hot.
Yes.
Very good.
Thursday night at Waco ISD. If you're not doing anything, go down to Waco and watch
that. Here's the other thing. Brenham, Texas City. Texas City, it's a long road trip to Brenham.
It's a hard road trip going all the way through Houston to get up there. Yeah.
But that is not a bad Stings team.
No.
And if that gets into a shootout territory, Texas City can hang.
Yeah.
I am Region 3. I think has exceeded all expectations as far as
it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Region 4. To Region 4, I hate to narrow it down. This comes down to maximum three teams, and you could even talk me into two. Now, they're both at the top of the bracket, top half of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Alamo Heights.
And Miller.
And Corpus Christi Miller.
Sure.
They look like the favorites here in Region 4. You and I are both on Miller. I like this Miller team a lot.
It's now or never.
It really does. Like,
if they're going to win it, it's because this is a senior heavy team. They lost in a regional final last year. They got playoff experience. They got experience at quarterback. If Miller's going to win a region,
it's
got to
be now.
Yeah,
I think they have a favorable draw to play Alamo Heights in a regional final. Alamo Heights, of course, Michael Terry. I don't know if Alamo Heights has really been tested. I think that District 13, didn't live up to our expectations.
Other than Bernie.
Yeah, and that's the other team I want to talk
about. Yeah, Bernie's, I think Bernie got a great draw at the bottom.
I think
they
did.
I think they're going to cruise to a regional final.
I think you're right. And I think that their quarterback, Hank Hendricks, has really grown up and is playing a lot better. That, to me, what was the final score? What was the Alamo Heights-Bernie final score?
Live coverage of me looking that up right
now. Look that up. Because that's one of the things. To me, that's the real litmus test here. Because Alamo Heights, again, just District 13 didn't play, or 15, or 13 rather, did not play out to be like we thought it would.
35-28.
So it's a good game.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it again.
Yeah.
Love to see it again. But they all have to get past Miller in a really interesting ball game there. It's a fun region. Gregory Portland, Victoria West is an interesting first round matchup.
Yeah, former district rivals. Yeah,
former district rivals going at it, so keep an eye on that one. That is 5A Division 2. To 5A Division 1 we go, Matthew, on this very brief podcast. Do not check the timestamp. 5A Division 1. Sorry to my wife. I'm supposed to be home.
Oh, no.
Dinner. 5A Division 1. I'm going to text her at this next when you start talking. 5A Division 1, Region 1.
Honey, Steph's talking too much.
It's Aledo, and guess what? They're back.
Mm-hmm.
I made this point on the show today. If you're going to get Aledo, it's probably this year.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a very good Aledo team. It does not feel like a great Aledo team.
They've shown that they're human.
They bleed.
They do. And I think... So I went against the grain, and I took Denton Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I think Denton Ryan... They're playing for something bigger than themselves right now. You know, their defensive coordinator, tragic loss of their defensive coordinator. And I think they've got something to play for. And I think that first half against Aledo, when they dominated Aledo and ran out to a big league, showed that they can play with Alito. Now, it fell apart in the second half, but I think Denton Ryan is capable if they can put four quarters together. And even Richland. Like, Richland took Alito to overtime. So, there are teams.
They can be had.
Yeah, I wish Abilene was. Abilene's just been hammered by injuries. I don't think Abilene's got the juice in the second round this year. But I think it starts. It's District 3. I think Abilene and, excuse me, I think Alito, Ryan, or Richland, one of those three is going to win the region. If you're going to dream, I think Lubbock, Monterey could be tricky. They're playing great football. And then if you really want to dream, look at El Paso, El Dorado in the top of the bracket with the running back Ray Estrada.
You know, there's only two undefeated teams in this region, Matthew. El Paso, El Dorado.
Yeah.
And the mighty Rough Riders of Saginaw.
That's right. What a job Mike Peters has done there.
It's
a great job. We used to call Saginaw Sag Nasty when I was a kid, so.
I think that they might be.
Write that down, V&A.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Third round Saginaw does not feel out of the ordinary. Like, it feels doable.
No. You know what I mean?
Third round Saginaw. That'd be fantastic for them. But, I mean, it's Alito. Until somebody takes the crown.
Sure. They're the favorite. I went a little off the board with Denton Ryan, but we'll see.
But you're a hater. To Region 2. To Region 2.
I hate your favorite team.
This one, Region 2 feels weird because for all the talk we have about brand names here, I'm not sure I love any of these teams.
No, I think that's a fair assessment.
I'm not sure I look at any of them like, man, that team's just rock solid, can't be beat.
I think if Lone Star was healthy, that losing Davian Gross, he's such a special player. Losing him hurts. But still, nice win over Reedy to close the regular season out. We got the Quintero Bowl, Cedar Park and Red Oak. I mean, you got West Mesquite at 10-0, but they haven't really played anybody, and they don't have the playoff pedigree.
That's the playoff pedigree.
Which is a concern. I mean, Midlothian's there.
Midlothian and Lake Belton's a fun first-round matchup.
I'm a big Georgetown guy. I think they're the team that no one's talking about that's going to win this region. But I could also see Burleson Centennial going down there and giving them a real challenge in the first round.
And then there's Highland Park. Highland Park quietly. This might be the first time we've uttered their name all year long.
Buck Randall. It's weird Highland Park has a quarterback named Buck. I'm sure it's not his real name, but
Buck Randall, he's been solid. They're just rock solid.
I feel like Buck Randall should be the quarterback at Colorado City or something.
And I also think that feels like they're going to walk to the third round where they'll see Georgetown. And Georgetown versus Highland Park is very interesting. I went with Frisco Lone Star. I think that they are probably the most complete team that I've seen enough out of. But they'll drop a stinker on you.
Yeah.
I know. That's Region 2 feels much more wide open. And in years, if you remember, it was not that long ago, maybe last year, 5-1 Region 2 was just like, man, every great team
in the College Station.
Yeah.
And they were, I was over there, and Longview was in there. Yeah,
yeah, it was in the wood chipper. To Region 3. Region 3 is probably the new wood chipper, and you've got a really interesting mix of ball clubs in a wide swath of the state.
Yeah, Houston, Austin, Brazos Valley, and a tiny smidgen of East Texas in there.
Well, the smidgen of East Texas is Lufkin.
Yes,
Lufkin,
and they are good.
Buddy, Lufkin, you want to talk about peaking at the right time, too? We're probably looking second round Lufkin and College Station.
Oh, my football pants are going crazy
with
that one.
It's just spectacular football there. Excited about that. I think Angleton and Pflugerville-Weiss is straight up the best game in the state this week.
That's a great matchup in the first. A tough road trip for Pflugerville-Weiss, but their two losses are about less than a touchdown to Consol and College Station.
Speaking of which, Consolidated down at the bottom of the bracket. I wish Jonah Williams were healthy.
I do too. Second round matchup of Consol and a fully healthy Galveston Ball. Yeah.
For those who don't know, we don't expect him maybe like if they were to play deep in the playoffs.
Yeah. Don't expect them before Thanksgiving.
Exactly. That really, really stinks. I will say this. You're going to have, LaPorte, Austin Anderson, Houston Sterling, Barbers Hill. Somebody's making the third round of the playoffs. It might be Austin Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, they got that dude in Ed Small.
Ed Small.
Yeah. One of our favorite players in the state. A dude's rock player right there.
This does feel, really balanced regionally. And I think you're going to get some real heater second round matchups here. This is a good region here.
It is a great. And LaPorte. LaPorte and Barbers Hill, second round. Those two schools are 10 miles apart from each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Great
right.
game.
And then Region 4. Smithson Valley is the most underrated, underappreciated state finalist from a year ago.
Yeah, no one's talking about
it. Nobody's talking about them. I think because they lost a couple games.
Yeah, and they just they don't play a real flashy style of football, but they're kind of a reflection of their coach Larry Hill, just kind of very take care of. Like Smithson Valley will win a 24-10 game on you and just be like, okay, that's cool, we'll win 24-10, and that's fine.
They feel like the favorite to make at least a regional semifinal and arguably a regional final. The question would be on the bottom half of that bracket is, do you see a Valley team? And the question would be either, in my opinion, either PSJ North or Edinburgh Vela. I don't see it personally.
I think PSJ North could get to the third round.
Yes.
Vela, second round matchup with Spencer Valley is real tough. PSJ North, shout out PPR, I think could get to the third round. You know, they at one point lost to Flyer Bluff in overtime is their only loss. But, you know, by the way, Corpus Christi Vets, they got punted into the sun by PSJ North and then turned around week 11 and knocked off Flyer
Bluff.
So
let's talk about that top half of the bracket, too, because you've got San Antonio Piper up there. That's my pick to win the region.
Mine
as
well.
I like Piper. I like what they do offensively.
Isaiah Champagne, that's my guy.
He's a dog. But then you've got both Flyer Bluff, who was a win away, like a overtime away from winning the district.
Going 10-0.
You've got them playing Piper in the second round now.
It's a great second round
game. Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial lurks there, too. That top half of the region is real, real saucy. And
San Antonio Southwest, 10-0 also.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Southwest is 10-0 as well. Yeah.
Keep an eye on them. I think they're going to beat Seguin. Yep. So you see them in the second round of the playoffs. I think we're probably heading for, if you would ask me, probably Piper versus Smithson Valley.
Round two. Yeah.
No, regional final.
No, I mean, but round two, the second time they play this year.
Oh, yes, round two. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Play each other again. A fascinating region that I could see go in a variety of different ways there. 5A Division I, Region 4 is going to be a lot of fun.
That's it. Great podcast.
Great podcast. Bye. Bye. Okay. We'll talk a little 6A. If you guys want. 6A Division 2. We'll start with Region 1.
You've hung around this long.
You might as well. This is your gift. Region 1.
Gift.
Gift is the word. Is there anybody that's going to come close to South Lake Carroll? Like, that's my thing. I keep looking at this. For all we talk about Region 3 of, like, sometimes Division 2 is, like, the leftovers region. Mm-hmm. Buddy, Region 1 looks like the leftovers region.
I think second round, if I wish Friendship was on a different side, because I think Friendship's the cut the brakes team in the region, and maybe they just get in one of those 65-64 shootouts and can win. I mean, their one loss is to Byron. I think they lost to San Angelo Central last game of the year. I don't think they had a lot of, but they lost to Byron Nelson by 1 point in week one. I think Friendship's a team to watch out for in round two, but South Lake Carroll is the clear cut favorite.
The computer, let's put it this way, the computer, Denton Geyer is the second ranked team in this region. And right now, the computer would install Carroll as an 18-point favorite over Geyer.
That's significant.
And Geyer,
between one and two, that's a big gap.
I will tell you that Geyer, they're high variance.
I don't trust Geyer this year.
I don't either.
The offense is too inconsistent. They don't seem like they're flowing offensively.
They don't click.
No.
They don't click offensively. And just the inconsistency. Carroll just feels like the one.
They feel inevitable.
They feel the one rock solid team in this region. Although there's some interesting first round matchups. I think Crowley and Justin Northwest is a really interesting first round matchup.
Yeah.
As well as Hebron and Prosper Rock Hill.
First ever playoff appearance for Rock Hill. Congratulations to those guys.
And that's a huge, huge game there. I'm fascinated by that one. But yeah, I mean, Region 1 feels like South Lake Carroll. I think that was a unanimous pick.
Agreed.
And I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I do too.
To Region 2. This is where we get saucy. You have DeSoto.
Another favorite.
Two-time defending 6A Division II state champs. And they are the favorites. They should be the favorites.
Yeah. They're the best team in Texas last year. But they're not what they were last year.
They're not what they were last year.
I think we can. This is not a shot at DeSoto. I think we can.
The bar's too
reasonable
high.
People can say that DeSoto is not nearly what they were last year.
No, because
this is what it is.
The bar was too high. Like, you're the best pound-for-pound
team.
They
were one of the best teams in the history of the state last year.
Agreed.
Yeah. And got flaws. They have some flaws.
And I think that there are teams on their path that could expose those flaws and take advantage of them. I think Wiley East or Forney in a second round.
Well, Wiley East gave DeSoto a pretty good run last year in the second round. Like, they won't be intimidated by DeSoto.
And then I know
the rematch.
You can see my predictions.
Yeah.
Buddy Willis. has got the juice.
The thing about Willis that people are going to say, oh, they lost DJ Lagway. And yes, they did lose DJ Lagway. But I think Willis at every other position is better this year than they were last year.
And I think that they obviously, look, Jack Emerson is not DJ Lagway. They don't need him to be DJ Lagway.
No.
But I think that you can make an argument that they are holistically.
They are. I think they're a better team.
Better.
Yes.
A better football team.
I agree.
This year. They don't have that guy, but they have a different guy in Jermaine Bishop.
Yeah, they're better on the offensive line. They're better on defense. I think their receiving core is more mature. I think
to me, like, I'm already catching hell from DeSoto people.
Oh, shocking.
I'm sure Claude's going to text me.
Or he's going to...
Thank me.
Or he's going to, yeah, thank you for giving them some motivational material.
Yeah. Exactly right. I think DeSoto and Willis is a coin flip game.
Okay.
And right now, I think I trust Willis' defense a little bit more.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Longview's interesting.
Longview's very interesting.
Their defense is playing. They haven't allowed a point in 10 quarters. They're playing great. My concern with Longview is they are very reliant on Boosie Washington.
Yes.
Like, it's Boosie or bust. If you're Longview, Boosie or bust, for sure. He's been awesome, but if someone slows him down, can Longview move?
Do they have a plan B?
Yes, and I don't know if they do this year. You know, I don't know.
I will say, though, like, who on the bottom half of that bracket, though, really, like, I think Cy Ranch Klein Collins a really interesting first round matchup.
I think Lancaster is a tricky matchup in the set. They beat Longview in the playoffs last year in 5A. Lancaster's record's not going to wow you, but look who they lost to. Mm-hmm. Like, their losses are to Aledo, North Crowley, Duncanville, DeSoto, like. Mm-hmm. Okay, like Lancaster's still very, 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 very strong. So that's a tough second round matchup for Longview. Lancaster's got to go to Killeen in the first round.
Spring Westfield's interesting. I don't know that they are as formidable as they have been in the past.
Offensively challenged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. They're going to have to win like real ugly slog games to win that kind of game. But I think the real box office is at the top of that bracket, and all eyes are going to be on DeSoto, and they should be the 2-time defending champs. Do feel gettable, more gettable than they were last year.
Agree.
The question is, can anybody do it? And it's easier said than done. To Region 3. Region 3, it, like the era of Region 3 in 6A Division 2 being the leftovers, it's over. Like that, I'm ready to close the book on that. Because this is a straight up capital V, capital G, very good region.
Agree.
You have Summer Creek, the defending regional champ. Two losses on the year, both to Atascocita and to North Shore. Pretty good.
Okay, yeah.
But
should
I
should beat Atascocita probably.
Should it be Atascocita? But second round matchup with Hightower,
very good Hightower team.
Third round matchup with Jordan, Katie Jordan.
That's power pick. Power pick. Yeah. I mean, they got that guy in Andrew Marsh.
They do. They got guy. That top half of the region is dirty. The bottom half is really feels wide open.
Yeah,
I like Shadow Creek. I know they lost their quarterback.
They've been pretty good still.
But even without him, their defense has really stood on its head.
That's the key with Shadow Creek. Their defense has played great recently. Hey, look, don't sleep on Kingwood.
I know.
They lost to Atascocita by a point. And, you know, they're playing good football right now. I think we're looking at a Kingwood-Shadow Creek second-round matchup, which
is
kind of
really, really
tasty.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be on Texan Live, I'm sure.
That bottom half does feel more wide open. The top is a brutal part of that region. And then down to Region 4. Now, if you did want to say that this is the quote-unquote leftovers, I might agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Vandegrift has been extremely quietly excellent.
Yes.
Like, they lost their opener to Cedar Park.
They lost to Cedar Park week 2 or week 3.
Week 2,
yeah.
And then everyone kind of forgot about them. And now they've rattled off. They finished 9-1.
Yeah.
And they've been rock solid.
Drew Sanders doing it again.
I think they've got a very nice draw.
I think they're going to cruise into the third round.
Where they're probably going to see Cibolo Steel, and we will have our
San Antonio referendum.
Our annual San Antonio referendum.
Yeah, the bracket broke good for Steel because Westlake and Lake Travis didn't go. Westlake didn't go Division 2, but Vandegrift in round 3 is not a cakewalk.
No,
you know? So that's going to be a tough matchup.
That bottom half of the bracket, Dripping Springs, I think, is probably your clear favorite on the bottom half of that bracket.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody really touching them.
No. It's a little bit of a... Yeah, I think Dripping Springs has got a pretty
strong...
Brownsville
Vets, remember, that was a team that was a state semifinalist a year ago.
Yeah,
But in 6A, it just feels like a different animal.
Yeah. Anybody's going to challenge them, maybe Harlan in round 2, but I still think Drip is favorite in that game.
So we're probably heading towards Vandegrift and Steele for our annual San Antonio referendum, and then they'll probably play Dripping Springs in the regional final. So there you go. There is 6A Division II. On to the big boys, Matthew. We've gone from 1A Division II all the way up to 6A Division I.
Mm-hmm.
And we will start in Region 1.
He's fired up.
In Region 1, where North Crowley, I think, has to enter as the, if not prohibitive, then at least clear favorite
in
Region 1.
Agree.
The firepower they've got, the path that they've walked.
They're built for the playoffs, too.
They are.
They can run the football. They've got Cornelius Warren and Daniel Bray. Got two Division I running backs.
They can beat you. They can do what the game asks of you.
Yes.
If this needs to be a throw-it-around game, they can throw it
Chris
around.
Chris Jimerson, UNT.
Quentin Gibson.
Yeah. Quentin Gibson's been the story of 2024.
Yes.
Kind of off-the-radar guy who's just been unbelievable. They're loaded.
Their defense is good. It's not elite.
No.
It's good. What happens if they run into a team that can score? Coppell and Prosper, legit tasty first-round matchup.
That's among the best matchups in the state of Texas.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think I like Coppell in a close one,
mm-hmm.
but Prosper is another team that's kind of built for the playoffs. Like they're good up front, and if they turn that into a real like mud fight,
yeah,
like that's not how Coppell's built to play.
No, Coppell wants to get out in a track meet and mm-hmm. let Eddie Griffin cook.
Yep.
Eddie G. Coach Wiley's got like five nicknames for that guy.
And then the bottom half of the bracket, I think the bracket broke real well for Allen. Real well for Allen. But that first round match
tricky.
For Louisville.
Louisville, very, very young, another high variance team.
Yes.
When good Louisville shows up, they beat Guyer.
Yes.
When bad Louisville shows up, Coppell beats them by 40.
Yes.
So it's which Louisville is going to show up. Nobody's talking about Trinity.
Mm-hmm. 9-1.
I think Trinity is kind of like this. They're enjoying flying under the radar. They're playing better defense this year, and we know they can run the football. So they're throwing it around too. Keep an eye on Trinity. That's a team that I think is going to be in the third round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be in the third round because they'll probably beat Mansfield, and then they'll probably, although Mansfield's eating too.
Yeah, that's another good first round. Trinity and Mansfield's a good first round.
And then Franklin, play the winner of Franklin and Legacy.
The only tricky thing about that is that if they play Midland Legacy, it's going to be in Midland this year because it's a demand game because Midland came to Pennington and beat Trinity last year. So, but Trinity can run the football out West Texas, no big deal.
Excuse me. Keep an eye on that one. Region 1 is fascinating. North Crowley does feel like the favorite there. Mm-hmm. Although, again, first round match with Byron Nelson is not.
No, it's not an easy first round. That's my Saturday game.
Yeah. Okay. To Region 2. Region 2, Duncanville versus the Field.
This is the region that I think is kind of the most boring. I think Duncanville is the prohibitive favorite in this game,
so.
This region.
I think that if they were to see, Saxey, or even Rockwall in the second round, and they were to just like lure them into just a wild ass shootout, maybe things get interesting.
But Duncanville's got Keelan Russell and they're built for that. Yeah, Duncanville's like okay, like this is a Reggie Samples team that doesn't mind throwing it 50 times a game. Like they'll do the bill. They're fine with that.
Sure. The Woodlands is interesting, 9-1. But the team that I look at as far as a team that is probably the chief challenger to Duncanville, if you can say such a thing, but they would still be 15 point underdogs according to the computer. Shifted into hashtag Maximum Bears.
Maximum Bears, yeah. Max Bears. Yeah, I think Bridgeland's the team to watch out for at the bottom of the bracket. Mm-hmm. They got the play up front and the good skill talent. The one concern I have about Bridgeland is the one really athletic team that they played, Ridgepoint, beat them.
Yes,
that's the concern. North Forney's kind of a weird sleeper because of Legend Bay just puts the cape on.
He's got the guy. Yeah, they've got the guy.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but somebody else is going to have to. You know, they played Longview and got shut out. And Longview just said, okay, we're going to make someone other than Legend Bay beat us, and it didn't work out.
To Region 3. And, again, the Fireworks Factory.
Loaded again. This region is so loaded.
Galena Park North Shore. Okay, they're going to beat Deer Park. Not a bad Deer Park team, by the way.
Remember, Deer Park last year gave North Shore a game for about a half. North Shore, we didn't talk about Week 11, but they looked like a state. They looked like 2018 North Shore.
They looked championship caliber.
They bodied Summer Creek.
That was as complete a performance as we've seen
from
them.
But if they're going to run the table in Region 3, if North Shore wins a state championship, this gauntlet, Deer Park, Fort Bend Ridgepoint, who is loaded. They got
hyper athletic.
A dozen Division I kids. Katy, Atascocita,
again,
Westlake or Lake Travis, and then possibly the state championship game, North Crowley or Duncanville. If they run that gauntlet, that's all time great team status. If yep. North Shore can run that gauntlet, yeah. I don't know if they can. That's a lot to ask.
That's a lot to
as
ask.
As talented as North Shore is,
every single week, because you mentioned Ridgepoint, they're absolutely terrific. They're really really good. Katy's Katy. You know exactly what you're going to get. They're going to run the ball. They're going to do play act. Gunnar Nelson, I maintain, super underrated. Yeah. Just an operator back there at the quarterback spot. I will say this: I like Cy Falls a lot. Okay, the top half of that bracket, that's the team that is going to fly under people's radar. Their defense, yes. And their playmaking defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they make big splash plays. The bottom half of that region, it's not like things get any easier. You've got Atascocita on the road at Dickinson.
Tough first round matchup. And then no one's talking about Fulcher. Mm-hmm. Caduti and those guys, the five horsemen, they run the ball.
They are rolling right now.
And Fulcher, they'll onside kick on you. They're going to go for two. They're going to get wild ass on you.
It is really... Every single week, there's going to be one or two box office games in Region 3.
It's going to be fun.
That's what's going to be excellent about this. Finally, in Region 4, this is, much, in my opinion, much more clear of, like,
I think we're
it would be stunning if we didn't have an Austin dominance.
We are careening towards Lake Travis Westlake Part 2.
It does.
Yeah,
it
we're just on a path.
Lake Travis.
Runaway train.
If Lake Travis can beat Round Rock, and I think that they're clear favorites of Round
Rock.
If they beat Round Rock in the first round, they will be clear favorites to make it to the third round.
Yes. That bottom half of the bracket, top half of the bracket, not great.
I guess if Westlake can make it past Brennan in the second round, but that's never been an issue for them.
No. Brennan, one year they beat Lake Travis, and Lake Travis was way down, but I just don't think up front Brennan can play with Westlake.
That's the thing about it. So we're probably heading for Lake Travis-Westlake Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like once they both got put in that bracket, that felt like the most natural thing. Because there's... The problem with San Antonio this year is that I don't think there's a middle class. Like, I think that they've got Steele at the very top, mm-hmm. and then really good team, at least in 6A. In 5A, they've got a bunch of really interesting teams.
Yeah, San Antonio's better than more interesting than 5A. Yeah. It's Steele, there's a gap, and then there's Brennan.
Exactly right. You know? That's the thing.
Yeah.
And Steele going to Division 2 is good for Steele, but it's bad for San Antonio as a mm-hmm. whole, mm-hmm. because they're not going to have those types of teams that can hang with these Austin area powers.
Yeah, I think we're just... I think you can put a... You know, I won't say pin, but... But pencil, at least.
Dark pencil.
Yeah, Lake Travis Westlake Regional Final.
Other than all of that...
We did it.
I don't know if there's anything else to
High
say.
High five, we did it.
We did it, buddy. Look at us.
We did it. Look at us. Just a couple of guys talking football.
All 12 UIL Texas High School football brackets broken down for your pleasure. And we hope you enjoyed that. Let's see if Vianne Moreno wrote anything.
I was going to say for her pleasure.
No, we'll do this first. Vianne, God almighty.
It's okay.
Vianne, what'd you write down? What'd you write down?
Okay. Really quickly, some really good stuff. I sent a picture to Pickle, and she thought it was very funny. Scott Surratt Revenge Tour.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Tortilla Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Tortilla Burger.
Peace, Love, Crabs.
Yep.
Diener the Receiver. Is that right?
Yeah, Diener the Receiver, yeah.
Michael Diener. Going to Tech?
Yeah, committed Texas Tech. Yeah.
Saginaw Sog
Nasty. Sag Nasty. Yeah, Sag Nasty. That's what we used to call Saginaw in high school.
Sag Nasty.
Sag Nast for short, yeah.
Boosie or Bust.
It's
a lot of these are things that I say. This is a recurring theme. Yeah,
you're being bullied.
You are banned from Atlanta.
You are banned from Lano.
No, Atlanta. I'm banned from Atlanta. Yes, me and Mike Roach are banned from Lano. I think Hudson maybe just by proxy.
Were you there when they got Jonathan Brooks?
I was there when they got Jonathan Brooks. Yeah, and then I was there. Then me and Roach were there when Edna punted them into the sun too. So Pickle was like,
everybody slid into Pickle's DMs.
Yeah, Pickle was like, you are not allowed at any Orlando games.
Great.
That's it, guys.
Where are you going this week?
I'm a value shopper in round one. It's my yearly trip to Amarillo. I'll get to go to Donut Stop. Shout out to Donut Stop.
Nice.
Thursday night doubleheader at Kimbrough or Happy State Bank Stadium. First game is Sunray and Olton, so I get to see our sweet boy. I will give Armando Lujan his personal invite to the Dude's Rock
Thank
dinner.
Yeah.
Yay!
Post game, I'm getting a picture with Armando Lujan and sending it to you.
Absolutely.
And then
I wish I could get a picture.
Thursday night, Canadian and Muleshoe.
Love it.
Wish Muleshoe was healthy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, injuries have hurt them. Friday, I'll be at Kimbrough or Happy State Bank for the 4 o'clock game, which is Panhandle and New Home.
Man.
And then I'm going to head over to Hereford, where the smell of money emanates through the air for a good game. Abernathy and Stinnett, West Texas.
Good game.
Very good
underrated
game.
West Texas team.
Then I'm going to hop on a flight. Thank you, Southwest Airlines. Please sponsor Tep and Step.
Mm-hmm.
For a Saturday 1 o'clock game between Byron Nelson and North Crowley.
Good game.
Which is like 5 minutes from my house.
There you go.
So there you go. That's my five games, round one.
Nice, brief podcast here previewing all 12
U.S. Brief, guys.
So brief.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's
Tell Tap Wife I'm sorry.
Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Textbook subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
We will talk to you next week for a much more normal episode of Tap and Step.
Bye.